Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in. As I just told Dawn, we have coming on at 2:30. You maybe saw him on Fox and Friends yesterday. I didn't know he went to school with Nick. That's good. We have Mike LaRosa. He heads up a big Democrat lobbying slash communications group, but he was the first communications director for Dr. Jill Biden. And he said yesterday on Fox they were allergic to transparency. Dog bites, an usher that was fired. They would scheme for weeks not to have it out there. So I thought he would be excellent to get on to talk about the latest developments. One thing coming out of the whole Biden thing, both the prostate cancer, and we'll play you a little bit of what happened this morning, is John Fetterman. They are using this. Various elements of the Democrat Party, these radicals, Indivisible is this group in Pennsylvania. Progressive radicals, redundant, Dom, to try to take out Fetterman. They're trying to show now, well, they're not going to let this happen. They wouldn't care if Fetterman rolled in there as long as he hit that button and voted the way that they want it and shut up about Israel. They hate Israel. They hate Jews. They're anti-Semitic. And Fetterman is a problem. They're saying he has low attendance. He's not holding enough meetings. Really? Look at Joe Biden. How many days do we see a lid put on it? They don't care about any of that. They want Fetterman out because Fetterman is not following the playbook here. That's why they want Fetterman out. So let's start off here with, Ezekiel Emanuel. This will be cut 20. Ezekiel Emanuel, Dr. Emanuel, was on Morning Joe this morning, and they asked him several of these. But now, this is the guy, Rahm Emanuel's brother, who is dead set progressive, but in simple questions, telling us that, yes, Joe Biden, probably, had this cancer developing over the course of time. And either they didn't want to do any more testing, or they did, and they covered it up. So then why release it yesterday? You know why. They're trying to show their lack of transparency again with something major to cut off the cognitive decline coming out tomorrow. I'm reading several people that have gotten the book talking about it is very explicit chapter and verse. What's the value of the book? You can say we knew all this. You need a public record. This is like testimony. It's day by day. It's a lot of Democrats. Now, they can try to get out of it. Josh Shapiro is one of the targets now. Because Shapiro said not only was Biden fit to go throughout all this, but that he saw Biden many times. Now he's trying to say today, old Josh, that he behind the scenes, though, told Biden maybe it wouldn't be a good idea to run. No, Josh. You're on the record. You had to go and do that, didn't you? You couldn't just say, well, I don't see him that much. Oh, no, I see him and he's great. This is the shadow over Democrats right now. A day of reckoning is coming tomorrow. Well, it started today. Here's Ezekiel Emanuel. Cut 20, though. Dr. Emanuel explaining how do we get to the Gleason score that's so high in his bones, etc. That doesn't happen overnight. Here's what he said.
Zeke, are we operating on just listening to you and Joe here trying to figure out what to deduce here, but are we operating under the assumption that President Joe Biden had prostate cancer for at least several years and either did not test for it and then discovered it just now? Is that possible? And would a doctor, would a doctor, a White House doctor and the team, would they agree not to test for that?
Again, if you're a doctor respecting medical ethics, you talk about it with the patient. Do they want this test or not? You talk about the pros and cons. You talk about what the recommendations are of various organizations, including the American Urological Association, the American Cancer Society. So the ultimate decision is President Biden's. I would say that it is surprising he did not get this test, given the fact that the proclivity of presidential physicians is test more rather than less. And I think it is a little, it's a little strange. We do know from the population, like I said, 7% of people diagnosed with prostate cancer get it diagnosed at the metastatic moment when it's already metastatic. So it's not unusual that people can say, no, I don't want the test, or their doctor doesn't recommend it, or they don't get the test for one reason or another.
Grasping at every option here, is it possible he had the test, and can this test miss it?
Given the fact that the answer is, of course, but given the fact that he has an annual exam, test is unlikely to miss it. Given the fact that it's a Gleason 9, which means it's pretty wild looking in the sense of underneath it doesn't look like a normal prostate cancer, a prostate cell. It looks like a prostate cancer cell, which is looks more of, you know, atypical. It's not likely that his prostate-specific antigen, his PSA, which is the test we're talking about, would have been in the normal range.
All right, there we go. Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, all right. And there were several. There was another urologist saying, of course, this doesn't happen overnight. So the best supposition is he had it, they knew it at some level, and they just were going on. And we'd be into the next term with all the difficulties that were seen and unseen. So why reveal it on a Sunday? Why do it now? Because they're being advised this will take the heat off of the cognitive stuff, which is going to be released tomorrow. How does it do that? It shows even more cover-up. It shows even more life-threatening cover-up getting to this level where suddenly it's this bad. That doesn't happen with someone getting this type of health care. It would be elevated. They would know. You wouldn't get to this point in time. This is relatively slow developing. Every doctor out there is saying that. Here is David Axelrod, though. This is Cut 19. And the Axe tag it in to say, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't we put a pause? We need another pause now on talking about Biden not knowing anything when he was president and who was actually running the country because he has cancer.
His medical condition now, his announced medical condition now, do you believe that silences or delays a lot of conversations about his, you know, last year and a half of his presidency for now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think those conversations are going to happen, but they should be more muted and set aside for now as he's struggling through this.
Why would they be muted and set aside now as he's struggling through this? They're obviously using it to try to get you to go down that path. They're hoping that this generates some kind of deflection, some kind of sympathy, when it's even more of a cover-up. We have the Heard tapes now, how they went after her, who was a great prosecutor. We talked about him, how bad Biden was in answering questions on that. So we'll talk with Mike LaRosa. I'm going to play you a cut. Yesterday, he was on Fox and Friends. He is Jill Biden's former, Dr. Jill Biden's press secretary. Here's what he said it was like early on He was working with Dr. Jill, not even with the president. They were allergic to transparency.
If you only knew how hard it was, I mean, this was a group in the White House who were allergic to transparency. And I go back to my, and I'm just talking about like just in the East Wing. I mean, the very first day walking into the White House, the usher was fired, and I couldn't get reporters straight answers because nobody would give me straight answers.
He talked about the dog bites. Remember all that stuff? Even stuff like that, there were no answers. So what were they doing to cover this up? And obviously, as we've said, there are several people speculating on the four or five people who actually crave this power. Ron Klain is one, the former chief of staff, and probably Dr. Jill, that were actually running the country. So there's going to be a full investigation in the House, up and down the line. I think there could be criminal behavior here. The auto pen, the pardon's in question. It's all in question. So what's their bailout? Their bailout is to announce that he has cancer. Severe, aggressive. Why? You heard Axelrod. That deflects. Can't we just move past this? Can't we pause this for a while? It is one of the most, I mean, Watergate doesn't come close to what was done here. It really doesn't, because the question is, who was running the country? And we're not talking for a few months. We're talking for 2, 3, 4 years or more. Well, 4-year term, but prior to him even becoming president, who was doing this? He got lucky because of COVID. He could stay in there. We didn't see him as much. When we did see him, it was bad. Wall Street Journal has a guy who was covering him today, a big article. Joe Biden was unfit in 2020. Now, I take his meaning, cognitive decline. I've always think Joe Biden was a dope, a stone cold dope. Maybe that's why they had trouble with it. But imagine going after Fetterman now to show they're credible after what Biden's gotten away with. Coming up, I'll give you the side question, but an outfit called More Than the Curve. Let me see, is that the Conshohocken Curve? Yes. Well, Conshohocken's mentioned in here, so I guess it's White Marsh Township. More Than the Curve is a Conshohocken Curve. Headline, WPHT, Talk Radio Philadelphia, 1210 AM. Should be embarrassed by its White Marsh 4th of July parade coverage. And they begin with me. And I have to get my Rand McNally out to satisfy these people. I may have been off by a hundredth of a decimal point about Flower Town and White Marsh. All right, so I'll explain. Nice shot, guys. Just put the times I'm on there when you when you do this. Yeah, and I was speculating, was the parade held on Bethlehem Pike or Stenton Avenue or, you know, various big roads out there? I was unclear on that. That's what we do when we're talking about this. But I'll give you a little bit of the, it's like being attacked by the Wall Street Journal. The More Than the Curve crew, we should be embarrassed. They throw Nick in because of what his theory was of who might be involved in this. With me, though, it seems to be mainly, my map reading is a bit off here. Sort of, a little bit off. All right, 855-839-1210. So watching our buddy Scott Jennings the other night, and we have a woman strategist that was on that has an answer to what she would take. It's revealed that Harvard thought they had a copy of the Magna Carta. Instead, they actually have one of the originals. We don't know how many originals, to be sure. So we thought we'd ask today, give us either a document, an artifact, even a prop, like a movie prop. But think of the documents, think of the artifacts that are out there. And we'd like you to wow us. Think of one outside the box. Now I'll take the Constitution off. Notice I didn't say the U.S. Constitution. There's only one Constitution that matters. All those others, give me a break. The ruby slippers, to give you an example. And I would say it's kind of an artifact. I certainly would like, I didn't clear it with Roe, but I'd like to put it in the back of the house. The Rizzo statue. That's exactly right. That's a giant artifact. I told you last week, we know that negotiations are underway. And we may see the release of the Rizzo statue. I can't say where they're trying to put it yet. We'll let you know the instant it happens. I'm very, very hopeful you're going to see Frank Rizzo out there again in Philadelphia. It'll be a bright and sunny day. All right, so hit us with one of those three. You do it at 855-839-1210. So, Henry, what's yours?
Yeah, I'll take off a few to start here. I'll take off the low-hanging fruit to start. How about with a lightsaber? I know people are going to call in and be like, oh my gosh, who wouldn't want a lightsaber? And that's very true. Who wouldn't want a lightsaber? We could only wish that it was actually working and we could actually have some lightsaber fights, but beggars can't be choosers. Another one I'm going to take off is, how about the historic home run ball from last season that Shohei Ohtani hit into the stratosphere to complete his 50-50 season? That's 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases. And then the other one I'm going to take off here, it's a bit of an outside-the-box one. I'm going to take off The Note. The Note is from the hit reality show Jersey Shore, in which Snooki and J-Well wrote an anonymous letter to Sammy detailing all the times that Ronnie had been cheating on her behind her back.
Quite an artifact.
Yeah, it became quite a turning point in the show, so I have to take off that as my artifact.
All right, so phone lines. We took a lot, but there's a million of them out there. Make your case, so it's got to be good today. This is wide berth. 855-839-1210. And the Biden cover-up continues by, look, they'll use anything. They'll even use this level of cancer, hold that card back, Joe, then announce it when we need it. Essentially, bleeding into the Monday, the day before, the big reveal in the book, which I've seen on Twitter, etc. It's not one of those things you can say, well, we already knew that. We did. We documented it. They covered it up. Vast numbers of people. This takes you inside, though, and the nuggets of it, the color. It's like a play-by-play of this versus just saying he shouldn't have been president, didn't know what he was doing. No. This is much better. This is going to drag on, and it indicts people like Josh Shapiro, who stood up and said, I see him many times. He's great. And this was pretty late in this. So no escaping for Josh Shapiro. I mean, that's a damage here. It's a damage they deserve going forward. Finally, a day of reckoning. 855-839-1210.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, you're with Dom. Here's a little bit of what we're talking about, an artifact. This was CNN, Scott Jennings' show, and this is a Republican strategist, Erin McGuire. Here's what she said her most coveted artifact is. Cut to.
Okay, Erin.
Yes, mine is an iconic Real Housewives of Beverly Hills item, the blue bunny that Kim Richards gave back to Lisa Rinna. If you know anything about Bravo TV, you know that this is an iconic item that has traveled the country on BravoCon and lives in the clubhouse with Andy Cohen. If Andy Cohen ever wants to give up the blue bunny, I would gladly give her a place to live. Iconic.
That thing is probably worth a lot.
Oh, I get it. Housewives fans would spend to buy that. Yes.
That is more than an artifact. That's an heirloom.
All right, so we're looking for that, or it could be a movie prop, or it could be a document like the Constitution, Magna Carta. There are a lot of them out there. Get in early, hit us with that. Here is a little bit from our friends over at More Than the Curve. Headline, WPHT Talk Radio Philadelphia, 1210 a.m. Boy, that's a lot of titles. Should be embarrassed by its White March 4th of July parade coverage. They go after Nick because of the theory that maybe it's a usual mob, the Gaza mob protesters that might disrupt. But they go after me by saying WPHT's Dom Giordano doesn't seem to know that a good bit of Flower Town is in White Marsh Township. They say maybe half. All right. I didn't have my Rand McNally out, and I said Well, Flower Town and White Marsh abut each other. You know, we were talking about the big tournament there, the Truist tournament, how they were able to do that. The police chief didn't have anything to say about it. So, yeah, Flower Town is inside of what is a township. Okay. They go on to say, though, that we had someone on, a listener, encouraging everyone listening to sign the petition, meaning also people outside White Marsh Township, which is exactly the thing those concerned about the parade's cancellation should want. It is a White Marsh issue. No, buddies over there, it's more than a White Marsh issue. Okay, here we go again with progressives setting off, triggering something that we hear even Cheltenham might consider now. The reason it's a broader issue, you know why. You know why we brought it up, why I brought it up. It's an example of progressive think. It's an example of what they do. Here's a perfectly innocuous parade. No threats. There's no threat in any way, shape, or form. Not even credible threat. There's no threat. And they just cancel it because they feel like. So, yes, I'm going to be there on Thursday. Why do I think it's broader than White Marsh? We went through this. The people that are out there all across the country, these progressives, be they on school boards, town councils like this, Congress, whatever. This is very reminiscent of the nonsense around COVID. Shutting down on another holiday again, 4th of July, something that people apparently really like, and it's only a mile stretch, apparently. Coming up with, well, we can't defend that. Look at what's going on around the world. More and more reasons that life can't go on, that we can't be unfettered of government. So they're going to do a presentation. I plan to be there. I'll bring you the sound. Thursday night, I believe it's 6:30, the elementary school over in Flower Town. Colonial, I don't have it in front of me. But let me pull that out, the name of the elementary school. And they're going to do a presentation indicating why this is necessary. With no credible threats, nothing. And we're an embarrassment. They begin this piece by saying, if you listen to local talk radio, you know it's not very good. That's never more apparent than when they discuss something local to you and you realize the host have no idea what they're talking about. The controversy, they say, to recap, the supervisors canceled the parade based on a security study that was supported by the chief of police. What the hell are you talking about? What security study? So, more than the curve, based upon what I know, looking at this, but I might be, my Rand McNally might be off here. If you can't do that parade in White Marsh, then most, if not all, of these parades should all be canceled, if you're right. A security study. And it's a mile. What did it indicate? Well, I guess it indicated that if somebody wanted to, they could do damage to the people in the parade. Well, we know that. What security study? What is it with this chief of police? In other words, why is White Marsh the one canceling this stuff? They seem to be, but they did a security study. Well, why are you doing a security study? Well, look at what happened in Vancouver. Look at what happened in Europe. I forget the other places. I mean, look at this goofy story of a Mexican ship hitting the Brooklyn Bridge. Yeah, of course it can happen, but it takes unbelievable idiocy in the case of the ship to hit it. And in the case of this, by the White Marsh standard, then every parade should be canceled in our area. Across the country, we shouldn't have them. They can't 100% in these small towns secure that parade. It shouldn't happen. Doesn't that make sense? We're the embarrassment, and you're in the tank on this? You agree with this? They go on to say, the township's inability to protect the parade from vehicle attacks, similar to those in New Orleans and Vancouver. It was acknowledged there was no active threat specific to the parade in White Marsh. Well, isn't that the critical thing? All right, coming up, we're going to talk with Alan Dershowitz. He's got a brand new book out, but I will ask him about all these deportation cases and also ask him about Harvard, which he has been unrelenting since the last time we've had him on in pushing back. We have the Trump-Putin call to talk about and Jose Alvarado's weight loss. My God. No, I have to say, major league penalties are relatively stiff here. It's not the 80 games. That's stiff. But it's also, you can't pitch play in the playoffs. That's where this is. And John Kruk, I want to salute a shout out. Look, when you're a Phillies announcer and they're going down, as that news broke yesterday, and I'm watching the pregame, it's difficult. You don't want to say the wrong thing. But John Kruk said if he were in the clubhouse, and he thinks a lot of players, they'd be upset with Alvarado, how selfish he was, that now their main cog in an area where they're relatively weak wouldn't be able to play in the playoffs in 80 games between then. The Phillies are going to have to do something. I will get into all that. Alan Dershowitz, though, 855-839-1210, you get in. Hey, don't miss out on the memorial sale at Rescue Natural Supplements. Going on right now, with prices rising across the country, Rescue is rolling back pricing to the year 2010. Plus, enjoy their fantastic buy two bottles, get one free, buy three bottles, get two free memorial deals. You can stock up on your favorites. Say big with Rescue rollback pricing and the generous free bottle offers. 1250 omega-3s, cholesterol supporters, probiotics, natural pain relief, everything is on sale. To order, call 800-26-ALIVE. That's 800-262-5483. Speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com, res-q.com. Don't miss this opportunity for huge savings on over 50 Rescue products to tackle your healthcare goals. Remember, 2010 rollback prices and the memorial deals are going on right now through May 29th, so go shop now at res-q.com, res-q.com.
All right. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of our all-time favorites is with us, the Felix Frankfurter Professor of Law at Harvard Law School and author extraordinaire. Just looking at a list of the ongoing books, my God. How quickly can you give us this material? We need more. Professor Alan Dershowitz is with us. The new book, The Preventive State, The Challenge of Preventing Serious Harms While Preserving Essential Liberties. Let's go to Professor Dershowitz. Professor, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you.
Well, thanks. Nothing could be more topical today because we live in a preventive world. We're deporting people in order to prevent them from committing crimes. We're contemplating bombing the Iran nuclear reactor to prevent it from getting nuclear weapons. We have red flag laws that are designed to prevent people from shooting up schools. We live in the preventive age, and yet we don't have a jurisprudence for it. We don't know how to do it. We just do it. We just detain people because we think they're going to do things in the future. We may be wrong. And so this book creates a jurisprudence for the first time in history, creates a jurisprudence for how we should deal with trying to stop things before they happen, because that's where we're moving as a nation.
Right, and I think it's very balanced because even though you are the ultimate libertarian in the broadest sense that I think of, you have always recognized at various times in our history the need to get ahead of, it's not a suicide pact is the way that I would put it, and I think that comes through here. We don't have to just say, well, it says something here, so we can't do anything.
No, look, I mean, look at international law. It was announced today that Israel may have succeeded in killing Mohammed Sinwar and 9 or 10 other leaders of Hamas. If so, that was a preventive strike. It wasn't designed to get even or retaliation or revenge. It was designed to prevent these characters, these horrible terrorists, from killing more people. And in the process, Israel had to kill some civilians. That's a necessary trade-off. And so, you know, but what if they had killed civilians and it turned out that Sinwar was not underneath a tunnel under a hospital? We would have made a mistake. So we're always trying to balance preventing horrible things from happening, at the same time preventing violations of due process and human rights and civil liberties. So this is a book I've been working on for a long, long time. I've been teaching the subject and writing about the subject. And finally, at age 86, my 57th book, I decided to write this book.
57? I'm amazed at that. It's a knack. It's a talent. It's just unrelenting drive. What would you say then about the deportation cases? Do you cover that in here? And again, what do you say? I don't know that they're, well, they are preventative in one sense, but there's a deeper back and forth over the law. What do you write about that?
Yeah, I say it has, as many of these things, two elements. Number one, these people shouldn't be in the country in the first place. They're wrong for being here, and we have the right to deport them with due process, as long as we do it with due process. Give them an opportunity to prove they're citizens or green card holders or they're not criminals, etc. But if they are criminals, we have the right to deport them. Now, you know, we've already shown that we make mistakes. We picked up some of the wrong people. We sent them to the wrong countries. So the question is, how do you create a jurisprudence that allows us to prevent the bad guys from committing the horrible crimes that many of them have committed, while at the same time making sure that we don't get the wrong people, that everybody has a chance to prove their innocence? That's the challenge. You know, we know how to do it when somebody's committed a crime in the past. We say it's better 10 guilty go free than even one innocent be wrongly confined, the 10-to-1 ratio. But are we prepared to say that about terrorism, that it's better for 10 terrorist acts to occur than for even one innocent person to be confined? What if we could have prevented 9/11 by arresting one wrong person? Or what if Israel could have prevented October 7th? The ratios are difficult. The trade-offs are difficult. And the point I make in my book is we're doing it. We're doing it. We're detaining people. We're even torturing people sometimes in order to prevent actions from occurring. But we don't have a jurisprudence. We don't know what we're doing. We're just doing it and hoping we come out the right way.
When you mentioned due process, though, look at what we're up against here with the criminal aliens, hundreds of thousands. What's your definition of due process? Is it a full case? I mean, there are limitations in reality, Professor, are there not, to how long we go? Yeah, go ahead.
That's why the word due process is so wonderful.
Yes.
It's the process that is due you based on your status and what they're planning to do to you. So if you're a citizen and they want to convict you of a crime, enormous due process.
Exactly.
You have to have a trial by jury, right to counsel, you name it. You have to have it. On the other hand, if you're an illegal alien and you're coming on a college campus and you're disrupting and preventing students from going to class, then maybe all the due process you're entitled to is a determination, A, that you did it, B, that you're not a citizen and you're here on a visa. And that's all the due process you're entitled to. So it's the process that is due you based on who you are, what your status is, and what the government is trying to do to you, what they're trying to prove. So due process, variable term.
I like that a lot. You mentioned something key there, too. You're alluding to maybe the Columbia guy.
Right.
And it's not just what he did, said, freedom of speech. There is the Hamas part, which is a terrorist group, so deemed. But it's also physical actions or egging those on or plotting them to physically harass and sometimes more Jewish students.
That's right. And I think once you get beyond free speech into harassment, into what they did at Columbia, for example, they held janitors, poor innocent people working hard to feed their families, held them, kidnapped them for a period of time. Now they're being sued. But unfortunately, they're not being prosecuted. They should be criminally prosecuted for holding people as hostages and not allowing them out, that's a very serious crime. And so in the book, I have a chapter on free speech, what the limits of that are. I have a chapter on terrorism. I have a chapter on red flag laws. I have chapters on just about everything. And, you know, you can get the book on Amazon. It's relatively fast read. It's 250 pages, and it's not expensive. So I think it's important for every American to know what we're doing in the name of prevention and to have an opinion based on the facts. I give an example. For example, in how to deal with the Iran situation, we could make two kinds of mistakes. We could not bomb the reactor, and then they develop a nuclear bomb and kill hundreds of thousands of people. Or we can bomb the nuclear reactor, and maybe they wouldn't have made the bomb at all. That decision was made in 1935 in relation to Nazi Germany. The British and the French could have destroyed the Nazi war machine in 1935 and saved 50 million lives, maybe at the cost of 10,000 lives. But they decided not to do it, and they allowed Germany to build up its war machine, killing 50 million people. So that was a mistake, which I call a false negative mistake. We failed to do something that could have prevented harm. On the other hand, in Iraq, we made a false positive mistake. We went in, toppled Saddam Hussein, because we thought erroneously maybe he was developing nuclear weapons, and he wasn't. So there are two kinds of errors you can make, and a jurisprudence basically tells you what kind of error do you prefer.
Absolutely. Parting question, too. Presidential sure. assassinations. That's one of the lead in your book.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it's shocking. How many signals do we need? The second guy, particularly, hiding in the bushes of the golf course, before there's some movement here. These people never, or almost never, it seems to me, act out impulsively and go and shoot at a president. There are big warning signs here.
Yeah, there are, and that's why we have what are called red flag laws. If there are warning signs, we can take guns away from people. But look, they're going after Comey, who, you know, made a stupid post in which he had some shells on the beach saying, you know, 57, whatever it was. He wasn't going to kill the president.
Yeah, but well, let me, Professor, shouldn't somebody at that level, though? I'm very sensitive to this, and you've done radio, too. I get any hint of anybody but any president talking anything like that, I'm on it because we know how serious this is. We know what our duty is on this.
Right. Not only that, but idiots see this and they say, oh, my God, Comey is telling me to kill the president. I better go out and do it.
Right.
So even if he didn't intend to do it. So I agree. It has to be taken seriously. But in the end, we know that Comey didn't intend to do anything like that, but he was stupid. You know, I've known Comey for years. I've argued against him when he was the U.S. attorney, when he was in Boston. You know, he's a decent guy, but boy, did he make mistake after mistake.
Hey, congratulations.
But, you know, I also in my book go into preventive medical stuff, you know, COVID and did we overreact? So it covers a wide array of things in our daily lives. And I appreciate you having me on and letting me explain the book. I hope people will get it on Amazon.
Absolutely. The Preventive State. Professor, thank you as always for coming to us in Philadelphia. Appreciate it as always.
Always love being on your show. Thank you.
Thank you. Alan Dershowitz here, Professor Dershowitz on Talk Radio 1210. Let me go to Robert in Springfield, and we'll get Dan's on the side question today. Hey, Robert, good afternoon.
How you doing, man?
Good.
So those people in White Marsh Township, they need to have their own parade. Enough of this.
That would be interesting to see. The police chief would probably consider that. He'd call out the National Guard, I think.
Fine. But they can't stop the people from walking down the sidewalk or driving down the street with a flag on their vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
They can't stop it. We can't lay down to this. I'm from Delaware County, but I'll go there. I'll walk in that parade.
Why do you say that when they chide me for saying you're an outsider? And Robert, you're an outsider. Why do we care about this?
Because it's our country.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get away with it there, it's going to happen in other counties. They're going to take whatever they can get, and we got to fight every inch. The 2024 election is not over. They're still fighting us. We need to fight for our rights. It's freedom of speech. It's a beautiful tradition. And us patriots, good patriotic Americans, need to stand up, exercise our free rights, our free speech, and get out there and walk. with our flags.
I hear you. Robert, side question, artifact, what's yours?
How about a crystal skull?
All right. Give us the significance. Why that?
I don't know. It fascinates me. I just saw a documentary on it, so okay. It's just top of mind.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks very much. You know, an answer to Beyond the Curve. It is bigger than White Marsh. Then we immediately hear, well, maybe Cheltenham will just... All these, they're petty little tyrants here. So this Beyond the Curve says, well, they were backed up by the police chief. Based on what? Well, I can't protect this. Well, then you shouldn't be police chief then. Oh, wait a minute now. Who could protect it? So which one is it? Why would they do this? I give you my theory. Even if my Rand McNally is called into question here. All right, apparently half of Flower Town, according to Beyond the Curve. I think it's only 48%. My people are going to send you a scathing letter. Only 48% of Flower Town is in White Marsh Township. What's the dividing line? I want answers more than the curve. Come on now. Call the show and tell us. Dan, how about you? Artifacts, document is... I'd love to hear a good document. Okay.
Hold on, he needs his mic. It's
okay,
right there.
All right, there we go. All right, that's falling apart here.
So, there we go. Now I have a microphone. Okay. So, Dom, how about the artifact works, right? So, I'm going to take... How about the DeLorean off the board from Back to the Future?
Yes, that's a big one.
It works?
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah, sure.
Sweet. Yeah,
the flux capacitor, yeah.
Yeah.
So I have the flux capacitor. Everything works. I'm taking that DeLorean, Dom, and I'm going back to, let's say, October of 2022. I'm going to find a guy by the name of Edwin Castro. I'm going to follow Castro for about a month. Then I'm going to give him a nice little shove and steal a piece of paper that he's holding, being his lottery ticket, because in November 2022, Edwin Castro, Dom, won $2.04 billion in the Powerball. So I would use a DeLorean, go back, only a couple years, find this guy and take his lottery ticket.
Oh, very nice. That's a double. It's a lottery ticket and the DeLorean.
Using your artifact.
Okay, there you go. Using your artifact to get a document.
I didn't even use my lightsaber for those reasons.
All right.
Jeez.
That's pretty good.
Use Henry's lightsaber as a threat.
855-839-1210. By the way, over the weekend, Dereau liked it a lot, I got to say, and had some pretty name actress in it, Nona's. Did say gravy by my count 7 times.
Oh, over.
And they had some guy that said sauce, and they just went away from it. He wasn't allowed in the restaurant.
Well, I shouldn't, you know.
There you go. And that's New Yorkers.
Mm-hmm. You know how they have intimacy coordinators now. They should have Italian coordinators on set so they get it right.
Yeah, that's right. There ought to be a job. No, they call them. They do have experts. They call them technical experts. So, yeah. Like if you were doing talk radio and they
well,
would
where's
ask.
Where's the Italian expert correcting
you? Right. They would ask me, would you do this at that point? What would you do? I'd say, listen, buddy. And then
misguided
put it in the script.
Italian American grandmothers.
Yeah. Would you talk with your hands?
Should have named the movie.
Exactly. They should have just called it gravy. It would have been a big hit.
Nope. Misguided Italian American grandmothers.
So Vince Vaughn doesn't know movies. I think he does. He was great at it. All right, 855-839-1210. You get in. Hit us with that all-time artifact. You heard Professor Dershowitz. Great stuff. We're going to speak with Victoria Coates at 1 o'clock today, national security expert, Heritage Foundation extraordinaire, the Putin-Trump call. And she wrote the book, the most recent book on Israel and Trump's visit there. And then we're going to talk at 2:30 with the former press secretary for Dr. Jill Biden. I will ask about that doctor thing. How sensitive were they to that? He was on Fox and Friends yesterday. We tracked him down. And he said the Jill Biden people were allergic to transparency, just on the dog bites, for example, let alone something like prostate cancer and cognitive decline. This is the worst presidential scandal. Watergate, yes, we know that. People went to jail, yada, yada, yada. But here, I think people committed criminal acts. They were running the country. And I'll play you Clyburn coming up saying he doesn't see why Joe Biden couldn't have served another term. Wow. We played you Axelrod saying, shouldn't we take a pause here because of the cancer and not focus on the cognitive? It's disrespectful to do. My God. Amazing. I don't know how much more is in this book. I think it's just the litany, the timeline of how many people knew and when they knew it. And they can't get away with it. It is a day of reckoning. Tomorrow might be a day of reckoning for Philadelphia, too. Of course, we'll talk today. The prelim, Larry Krasner, cop hater extraordinaire. The trial started today of Officer Mark Dial, who the FOP is with him. I don't know if citizens in Philadelphia standing up for a cop who Larry Krasner just hates. Imagine this cop is on trial, not just for, some kind of an offense, even if that, but third-degree murder, going to prison because of his actions to protect him and his partner in Kensington with a guy who did have a weapon and had inability to communicate and was driving the wrong way and high speed and all that. That's Krasner's Philadelphia. That's what's at stake tomorrow. All right, 855-839-1210, you get in. You know, it said you just don't visit Sicily. You fall in love with it, want to come back again and again and again. Maybe you've been. You want to go back another time. But we're going. Talk Radio 1210 listeners, Dom and Ro. The unparalleled beauty of Mediterranean Europe and Sicily and Calabria, too, this fall. It's a great trip, once in a lifetime. And the best tour operator in Italy, everybody knows that, Conservative Tours for us. You're with people that know talk radio, that might know each other, have heard calling and all that.
I know that there's also in America a big fight against saying gravy or sauce.
What do you say, Giuseppe?
It's sauce.
Yeah, the way he said it, that's bogus. We're going to change that in Sicily. I'll be there in the town square in Palermo. All this for $55.44, including airfare and the dining events. We'll ask each person at each stop about the gravy sauce. I'll keep score. I'll tell you gravy when I come back, I'm sure. The Quattro Conte, stunning Monreal, the Palace of the Normans. Call 888-733-9494 or go to conservativetours.com. The Godfather Tour, all three films, is part of the package. Taormina, the crown jewel, Mount Etna, the Valley of the Temples, the volcanoes, Savoca, Sicily. Charming, picturesque. Call 888-733-9494. All right, we'll get Dan's on the other side. Let me get one on board here, though. Let's go to Joe in Columbus on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Joe, you're pulling rank with this one. This is Joe of Exton territory. What's the artifact?
I was warned with that threat. And
yes.
I'll apologize ahead of time to Exton Joe. Dom, this has been validated and invalidated so many times through forensics and DNA, but some of us on the chat thinks it looks like resembles one of your listeners, and that is the Shroud of Turin.
And who does it resemble?
Road Warrior.
Okay.
We're going to say Chris in South Philly, to be honest.
Yeah. So, Joe, you're having lunch with us on Dom Day, and Rose said, "Have I met Joe?" And I said, "Yeah." The guy with the hair. She said, "Oh, yeah, I do remember. I remember the hair.
Can't forget the hair."
Yeah, the hair.
I hung out with her at the lunch table.
Yeah, I know, but it's like a blizzard. She remembers Gary of Newtown. What a gentleman he was.
Yes, Gary is a gentleman. He is. Hey, so are all your listeners, Doc.
Oh, no, Joe, we're really looking forward to that. So it's on top of my mind. So we get a full lunch going. Maybe we should start around 11:15 or so. I want to, be there at the table.
I'll be there.
Okay.
I'll be there. We used to get there early, say hi to Johnny.
Oh, yeah. All right, Joe. Shroud of Turin. Shroud of Turin is a great one. All right, coming up, Victoria Coates, Dr. Coates from the Heritage Foundation, wrote the book about Israel and the current book, Battle for the Jewish State. President Trump goes through the Middle East. I'm on board with a lot of what he did, but maybe not some of it. And the phone call, Trump-Putin. Little unclear of anything on that yet. We'll see what she thinks about it. But all-timer today, an artifact, a prop, a document is what we're looking for. Get on board at 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.